episode. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long.
Yep. No cold opening this week because I couldn't really think of anything. I mean, sometimes it just bees like that where nothing really sticks out to me to talk about early as a
Astros just lost.
Yeah, we were waiting until the game finished before we started. They just lost, but that's all right. They're going to be in the playoffs in October, so it's all that matters. At this point, it's just a formality at this point. We got rain in Houston this week, like quite a bit of it. So I guess that's
a lot.
I mean, this very droughtful summer we've had, and so you know we got a little bit of rain, and we're doing well. And but how are you guys this week?
I'm doing good, man. You know, I feel like it's just been a busy week, just overall. Some cool stuff. Saw some cool stuff, which we'll touch and download this. But overall, I feel like the week just kind of blazed by. I don't know if y'all been feeling like that way, too.
No, not really.
No.
I'm not going to get into my personal business, but when things are going in my life, no, this week feels like it's been about a month long.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I've been in the middle of it's been a long, dramatic week, and I don't want to get into it. Only you guys know about it. So I'm in the middle of my little mini vacation, trying to relax.
There you go, man.
That's about it on my end. Just trying to keep my head up.
Yeah. Well, that's the way we do it, man. And just move on forward as we get close to holiday season and Halloween. Halloween horrors will come up on the show soon. That'll be I don't know if I'd say it's fun. That's kind of the month where Matt's grins from ear to ear. Me and Long are like, oh, we got to watch these horror movies. but we'll survive. We got Matt's birthday in a couple weeks, and I got to start brainstorming on that. Got to get this motherfucker back a little bit for some of the roasting he did of me a couple weeks ago. Not that y'all roasted me that badly, but fuck that. I'm going for the jugular on Matt. I'm going to think of some juicy stuff. So
going for the throat.
That's right. That'll be in a couple weeks from now, but we'll get there. But until then, let's do this week's episode, man. Let's get into download this where we tell people we watched, streamed, checked out this week, and despite everything that's been going on this week, I did have time to sit down and watch a couple things just to clear my mind. So I'll start. I watched the first episode of She-Hulk, and I actually surprisingly kind of liked it. Like, I didn't love it. I still think it's kind of – parts of it really dumb. But I actually really like the banter between – what's her name? Is it Jen and Bruce? That was probably my favorite part of it. I thought that they had a good chemistry. And the CGI is still not great. As much as people complained about the trailer and they said they wouldn't fix it, there's a lot of cringeworthy CGI in that first episode. That was just like, oh, that looks really bad. And but, you know, it is a television budget, so I guess you can forgive it a little bit. But not bad. And I watched the first episode, actually the first couple episodes of Ms. Marvel. Don't really like this one all that much. It's way too teenagery for me. And it's not – like, I really like the girl that plays Kamala. I think she's fantastic. Actually, all the actors are pretty fantastic. I think her family is really good in the way they interact with each other, but just the story is kind of, it feels really forced, especially like the way her powers just show up. It's like, oh, that's really convenient. She just has powers all of a sudden. I'm just like, and I already know the spoiler at the end of the season where apparently she's a mutant or whatever, but still, it's just like, it feels like a very convenient show to drop in the middle of the MCU. But so does She-Hulk, to be fair. The beginning of the first episode feels really convenient how she becomes She-Hulk. And I'm just like, are we even thinking these things through anymore Marvel, or let's like just put a bunch of heroes out there so we have new characters to play with?
Well, it's the history of male superhero characters versus female super characters. Male superheroes have to become, female superheroes just are. And that's why.
Is that what it is?
Is. That's what that is.
That's fair enough. I don't know if I'll finish Ms. Marvel, but I'll probably give She-Hulk a chance because it was a bit enjoyable. And then I also watched the first episode on Disney Plus of that documentary about Industrial Light and Magic that's on there. It's really good, actually. You know, Disney's been doing a lot of this documentary type stuff for Disney Plus, and some are good, some are kind of just pretty standard, almost like a featurette, you know, on a Blu-ray or something. But this Industrial Light and Magic documentary is actually one of the better ones. Really enjoying that, how they made all the special effects in the 70s and came up with the ideas for ILM and to create this company. And a lot of really neat footage I've never seen before behind the scenes of Star Wars and other movies they made. And really, and that's one thing I found on some of the Disney documentaries that they've done is they've really dug into the vaults. Like, I've watched a few of these documentaries with stuff. And I consider myself obviously a hardcore Star Wars Lucas fan. And just when I thought I'd seen it all, they'll pull shit out in these documentaries. I'm like, well, I've never seen that footage before. I've never seen that. And I think that's a cool thing that Disney is doing and opening up those vaults and showing us some of those documentaries and stuff on there. So that's a lot of fun. But I definitely recommend the Industrial Light and Magic documentary on Disney Plus right now. That's about it. I watched, like I said, I watch a lot, but I did have time, despite everything I have going on, to sit down, relax, and watch a couple of things this week.
I'll have to check it out. I do like movie magic documentaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll enjoy it.
I saw the second episode of She-Hulk. I like it. It's definitely a step in the right direction as far as character development. Especially at the end of the episode. This is a small little post-credit scene. it got a laugh out of me because, anyways. Matt, did you see it?
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen the first two.
Yeah. But yeah.
Good ending credit scene. Yeah.
Yeah, that last scene had me laughing. Not out loud, but it's like, oh, man. Man, her deadpan delivery, it was just so spot on. You know?
There's some funny stuff in there.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's definitely a pretty good job as far as being Marvel's sitcom-esque type show.
Mm-hmm.
Been staying current on some of the anime I've been watching. Overlord Season 4 is pretty good. And the big content patch was dropped this week for Final Fantasy 14, and so new story, new main story quest released. Pretty good. I did 3/4 of the raid today, and some hard boss battles in that thing. And this was just story mode too, not the hard mode. So I'm like, So, yeah, I managed to beat a boss before logging in to record with y'all. And other than that, things are good. What were you, Matt? On to you.
Yeah, yeah. Watched the second episode of She-Hulk. I thought it was a good continuation from the first one. I won't spoil it, but she does a bit more with her transformations in the second episode, and you kind of get a line out of how, you know, the story's going. I don't think it's as good as the first episode, just because of that comedic banter between her and Bruce is pretty good. I think that's good stuff. I know we've got to develop her, you know, and have her in her own kind of storyline. So we probably won't see a whole lot of her and Bruce collaborating a lot through the rest of the series, I expect, but if we get more of it, that'd be cool. Also, finally, took the kids to go see Dragon Ball Super Superhero. I like how they did the story. I was kind of skeptical at first because I'm just like, you know, how are they going to bring back the Red Ribbon Army again? You know, this is like the third time we're bringing back the Red Ribbon Army. You know, is this going to be redundant? And I think it works. The kids enjoyed it. I thought the animation was going to throw me off because, you know, of course, the original animation needed an upgrade. You know, I've had some friends that, you know, watched Dragon Ball Z at a young age and they were asking me, you know, hey, how's the animation? And I had to remind them. I said, well, you know, it's come a long way since the first, you know, some of the first times we saw Goku on Namek. You know, he was kind of rough at first, rough looking. And then we got Dragon Ball Z Kai, and everyone got used to that anime style. And this is different. It kind of looks like watching Dragon Ball FighterZ play out in front of you. You know, but it works. It works. And I like the final scene with Gohan. I thought that was cool. I'm a big Gohan fanboy. I'm one of those, if you know what I'm talking about. There are people that really, really love Gohan. He's probably my favorite character. Even more so than Goku. So I like that we got a Gohan movie to where people like me can be like, yes, finally the once hero that was going to take over leading the Z Force, he gets his own movie and it's great. So if you haven't seen it, if you're skeptical, man, go out there and see it. It's released in more theaters this time, even more theaters than the Pokemon movie that came out. That first Pokemon movie with Mew and Mewtwo. And it's been more successful. So it's, you know, arguably it's probably going to be the most successful large scale release anime movie. So good stuff by Akira Toriyama, and he's doing good stuff. Go out there and see it.
That's what I did. 21 million its opening weekend, which was was good because, I mean, there's not a lot in theaters right now, so kind of released at the right time, right before school started for a lot of people, so it got people a chance to go see it, and, which is strange because it was delayed almost, a couple months, and but it seemed like it was good timing. So.
Oh, yeah. No, good. Yeah, very good timing. I also you know, Top Gun Maverick went to streaming and I was like, I really want the DVD or the, you know, the Blu-ray.
Well, the physical copy's not coming out until November.
Yeah. I saw that. I was like, it's months, which is, like you said, it's weird. So I downloaded it. Man, it's still awesome. Jackie watched it the first time. She cried at the end. She's like, oh my God. She's like, this is really good. And, you know, just the, that kind of brotherhood type, you know, stuff that goes on in the last act, to not spoil it for, you know, anyone that hadn't seen it yet. Long man.
It really is, man. Like, the
have to invite you over, man.
It's the best movie of the year. I mean, as much as I love the Batman, I think Top Gun's the best movie I've seen this year. I mean, yeah. It's just a lot of fun. People are still talking about it, still making money a month later. I mean, Tom was right to keep Paramount from putting it out in streaming, doing kind of, it paid off big time to wait 2 years for everyone to see it. And it truly is a really good product. I mean, one of the better movies, not just this year, the last few years. I mean, it really is just a really good fucking movie.
Well, the movie surpassed Infinity War.
Yeah.
So I'm a little salty about that. So why should I keep giving him money?
So it's on your Vudu account, Matt?
I think
I still have your Vudu account on my PS4. I might have to log in and rewatch it.
Yeah, man. Watch it up, man.
Because I really enjoyed it. And there was about a 5-minute period close to the climax that I missed because I had to take one of the kids to the bathroom. So,
man.
And I'm like, and I come back, I'm like, what happened? You know, I'm like, so I need to rewatch it, at least that part of it. So, yeah, no, it is a solid movie.
And, Yeah. The only other thing, I didn't get to watch it. But I rented it. I just haven't used my rental yet. Underdog movie, the Kurt Warner movie. Because it's funny, I wasn't, you know, I was kind of like, I kind of want to watch it. I had a discounted rental. Well, so, you know, the wife has started, you know, working part-time for the Texans, kind of something that I used to do. And she was having a conversation with a couple, you know, one of my friends, a good friend of mine that still works there, and a couple other people. And they mentioned Kurt Warner, and she said, who?
Yeah, but still, it looks like one of those sappy Hallmark movies.
It does. It does. It's got the great Dennis Quaid in there, though.
So,
yep. So why not? At $2.99, I, you know, sure, why not?
I guess.
Yeah. And it's got Zach Levy, you know, and he was, you know, he's cool.
Is he though?
Yeah, he starred in that remake of Big, you know.
Oh, you know, the kind of backtrack a little. She-Hulk's actor Tatiana Maslany, she was actually in the running to be in the Star Wars trilogy as Rey before they cast Rey to Daisy Ridley. And what was that Netflix show she was in where she played multiple clones of herself?
I don't know.
What was it called?
Was she Ex Machina?
No. There was a Netflix show a few years back, and she played like so many versions of herself, of like, you know, different. She was
Black.
That one, Orphan Black. Yeah, she was the star of Orphan Black. So, yeah, she's a very talented actor. Yeah, so, but I thought she did good in She-Hulk. So, anyhow.
Yeah.
That's another example, Mark. Luke had to become. Rey just was.
So, Mark, if you don't like the second episode, you're going to drop She-Hulk without seeing Daredevil?
No, that's one reason I'm going to watch it, because it's got one of my favorite Marvel characters in it. I mean, I've got to make it till Charlie appears. You know, because I mean
if you could put up if you could put up with the boy's exploding penis or whatever, the hell, I'm sure you could put up with She-Hulk a little bit.
Well, yeah, and still to this day, out of every Marvel TV show they've done in the last 5 years or so, Daredevil's still my absolute favorite. I mean, nothing has beat that for me ever. So. So I definitely am going to stick it out to see Charlie come back and as the character. So
I liked his cameo in Spider-Man. Oops.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I really like that show a lot. And, Charlie, it's funny because Charlie Cox wasn't exactly who I initially pictured as Matt Murdock in my head, but 3 or 4 episodes into that show, I was completely sold and thought he did a wonderful job as Matt Murdock Daredevil. I mean, shit, the hallway fight scene alone in what, episode 3 or whatever, just well, it sold me on the entire show. And I think it's fantastic. And I like what I'm hearing, you know, that from what I'm hearing, they're not going to ignore the events of the Netflix show when they do bring back the show. That, you know, all that stuff still exists. So hopefully they continue on where we left off and get some Bullseye in there and some other characters. And we obviously know it's not going to be as violent because that's not the way Marvel does things now, but at least they're not going to ignore the events that occurred. So I think that's good. So looking forward to that for sure. But yeah, I'll stick out She-Hulk. I was going to try to watch the second episode today too, but I had to, leave for some things I had to do today. So, cause I actually watched the first episode this morning before I got up and left from the things I had to do. So, but yeah. All right, well, let's get into today's featured film then, I guess. This is a movie that turned 30 years old this past summer, and I rewatched it this week, and you almost have to view this movie as just kind of a monster flick that takes place in the same universe as the previous movies that came before it. But it's also okay to sit there and ponder how did this turn out this way? And we have some of the answers behind that, but we are talking Alien 3 this week. And Matt, you summarized last week, right? Yeah. So I'll summarize this week. Basically, it takes place, you know, after Aliens and Ripley and Newt and Hicks are in a ship in space and hyperspace, and the ship malfunctions. So part of the ship with their bodies on it breaks off, and they crash land on a prison planet. And for convenient writing purposes, Hicks and Newt are killed off, and Ripley's the only survivor. And she's on a prison full of men who have found sort of religious ways out in deep space. But there was an alien on board that ship too that escaped, and it wreaks havoc in the prison, and they have to find a way to stop it. And that's basically it. And it feels
without weapons.
Without weapons. And it feels so basic after coming off of James Cameron's Aliens, which is, you know, a masterpiece of so many ways. I mean, you can argue the original Aliens a masterpiece too. That was in 86, and this movie was made in 92, almost, you know, 6 years later. The studio, you know, at one point begged Cameron to come back, and they begged Ridley Scott to come back, and neither one of them really had interest in it. So once they couldn't get the big-time directors, they decided to cut budgets. I mean, this movie was made for, what, $45 million? Very cheap. They convinced Sigourney Weaver to come back, but she took a little bit less salary. Then they filled up the rest of the cast with a bunch of relatively unknown actors, including Charles Dutton, who I always felt was a James Earl Jones light, and a bunch of other character actors. And David Fincher, a young David Fincher as a director who basically had no control over his own film with this. He fought hard with the studio over this movie. And Lance Henriksen does come back, even though he didn't want to either. But they begged him to come back to kind of tie it all together. And he didn't even come back till the very last minute. It was very last minute. He's like, okay, I'll do it. And he doesn't really like the film. Sigourney doesn't really like the film. Nobody who was involved with this really likes the film. But that's not to say it's a terrible film, because I don't think it's a terrible film. It just feels really low-key let down after Aliens. And it just makes you wonder that 20th Century Fox, who is a huge studio, allowed this to happen after the highly successful, big, high-powered, big-budget Aliens. And, you know, I saw this in theaters. I remember back when I was in high school, and I remember walking out of it going like, well, that was kind of underwhelming. That was my initial thought on it, you know, back then. And I still feel it's a little underwhelming, but I don't want to completely tear it apart, because there are some good things to say about it, I do think. Your guys' initial reactions to Alien 3.
I thought this, a very disappointing film. Aliens built upon what Alien did, expand upon it, and I wanted to see where they were going to go after Aliens. You know, what happened to the characters of Newt and Ripley and Hicks. You know, I wanted to see the continuation of that, but we didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
We had a reboot, basically. And it was a deconstruction film as well. It just basically wiped the whole slate, killed off characters we cared for, and I was like, okay, well, I mean, Ripley's still alive, but what's she going to go through?
Right.
And, yeah, and I think they were trying to do a back-to-basics thing from Aliens, try to have that horror element in there, but wasn't really. So it was kind of a half-assed sequel, and it was a studio sequel. It was built by committee, for sure.
Yep.
So
that was the problem.
Yep.
I feel the same way you feel, Long. This does feel like, you know, Mark, yeah, there are some bright spots, but it is like essentially like a reboot. There's no space marines. There's no guns. You know, this doesn't feel like the action film we just got, you know, and
right.
Studio did want that at one point. They wanted They wanted Michael Biehn's character.
Biehn was even signed on for a sequel. So when he found out he wasn't in it, he was like, what do you mean I'm not in it? He was shocked.
Yeah. That they had all these writers come in, and first you had a wooden planet with a, you know, with an ecosystem center that kept this planet of monks alive. And then Ripley was going to come onto the planet and, you know, be held in a cell because she was going to throw the harmony off of the monks. And then they were going to, you know, do battle with the alien with medieval weapons as they had cast out firearms and stuff. And then, you know, Ripley was going to have the alien removed through an ancient monk way at the end instead of dying. And then, you know, as directors passed, you know, passed hands, writers passed off, you kind of got this story, which is kind of what the studio wanted. They wanted this, they liked this all male planet kind of thing. And they liked the idea of not having space marines again, which is just weird to me. Maybe if we had gotten Cameron back, you know, it wouldn't have been so bad. But, you know, we didn't. but oh, is it better than Resurrection? I don't know. Is it better?
Boy, I don't know. It's debatable.
Resurrection is definitely has more money. It probably looks better. You got a better cast, got Ron Perlman and stuff, but the story is such a clusterfuck. Like, there's a bunch of why did that happen? Why did that happen throughout that movie?
Yeah,
which just ruins it. You know. It was big and bold. It had bold ideas, but it just like didn't work.
And also I watched the assembly cut of Alien 3, mm-hmm. which is the raw, you know, the first director's pass through.
Yeah,
and the assembly cut was basically going as according to the script before it gets edited by the director himself, which he didn't get to do.
Well, no, Fincher chose not to have anything to do with the assembly cut, though, that they put out. He said, I was done with it. That's why it's not called director's cut.
Yeah. Yeah, the assembly cut was done by the studio as best as they could, according to the script that Fincher had at the time. Mm-hmm. And it is definitely more fleshed out than the theatrical cut, but it's slower. I don't know if it's better. It's definitely a lot darker than the theatrical cut because, I mean, there's a scene in there where they are doing an autopsy on Newt's body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's dark.
That scene's pretty brutal.
Yeah. And they showed, you know, instead of the dog being the one that's giving birth to the alien, it's actually a cow carcass that was giving birth to the alien. The conclusion of the film, climax of the film was a little bit longer as well. Don't know if it was better paced. But yeah, I don't know. It's probably slightly better as far as a character point of view. And that's also, Charles Dance, who plays the doctor, the infirmary doctor. He's also in Game of Thrones,
mm-hmm.
so he's a very young Charles Dance. Well, not that young, but young enough.
Younger.
But yeah, I don't know. It definitely doesn't reach the highs of Alien and Aliens. So.
Yeah. I've seen bits and pieces of the assembly cut back when I first bought the Blu-rays, but... I had a hard time making it through the assembly cut because it is, like you said, it's a little more dragged out. But I do kind of remember a little bit more fleshed out characters, things like that, but just not enough action in it. You definitely can see the horror elements in this that David Fincher would go on to use in his career and making movies like Seven. And you know, some of his other films he's done. So you definitely, that's one thing I took away from this is you can definitely see the talent is there. I do like the way some of this is filmed, like from the alien's point of view when he's running through the hallways. I like the more agile, kind of quicker aliens. So there are some little things like that I like. So I definitely thought that Fincher's direction in this is not terrible. You definitely see the talent this guy has. We all know that he's going on to be one of our most successful directors of modern times. And it's a shame he wasn't able to put his own vision of the film together, because he's talked about it before that his version had more action, was much tighter. There was a lot more he wanted to do with it than he was able to do, because studio stepped in and basically took it out of his hands.
Clipped his wings, man. I was going to say Charles Dance. When I think of him, I think of Last Action Hero, baby.
Only you think of that movie, Matt. No one else. No one else.
Yep. Yeah. I like when the alien's like on the ceiling, like you said, Mark, the point of that alien, and he's like, his vision's like twisting, going, circling in on his victim. You can definitely, see, why David Fincher, made some good stuff like, Seven, Zodiac, Mindhunter. Those films, kind of like look very similar, and they've got really good horror elements in it. Mm-hmm. He did Gone Girl, which the wife liked that one. I know that was,
I didn't like the movie at all. That's the one Fincher film I did not like.
Yeah. It doesn't look like a Fincher film. Yeah. It's not as dark. Yeah. There's dark stuff that happens in the film.
Yeah. I don't know. If you saw His Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, I think those two movies, if Fincher kind of filmed those a little bit differently than some other movies, because he knew they were more dramas. So they kind of have a similar look, which I liked His Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, but I did not like Gone Girl. I was not a fan of that movie.
Man. Yeah, man. But Fincher, man, he started out doing Pepsi commercials, I believe, started out doing stuff for like Michael Jackson and Pepsi.
He did. And, he also did some music videos. Yeah.
Music videos. And the way his music videos were shot, I feel like he just uses those same elements, in his films. And it's cool that he went from that to doing this, and he's one of the best. I mean, he probably did a better job directing Seven than Guillermo del Toro could have.
I've always wanted to see him return to a mystery horror like Seven or The Game, like some of those films he did in the 90s. I'd like to see him do another one of those style films, because he's done more dramas recently, and Curious Case of Benjamin Button, that was kind of a drama too, but I'd love to see him return to horror elements. I mean, or even a horror sci-fi film like Alien 3, I'd love to see Fincher take a shot at
something. Oh, yeah.
He definitely has a good eye for it.
We definitely have we don't have as much sci-fi horror out there as we used to, I feel. And get back to that, Fincher would definitely be the guy to get that done.
Yeah, I'm trying to see what he's been working on lately. He's been doing like Netflix stuff and stuff, hasn't he?
Yep.
Well, he's been
doing Netflix.
I know he had a Netflix TV series he was doing, and he was doing some stuff like that. Seems like we haven't had a film. He's been doing Love, Death, and Robots. He had a movie called Mank, and he did Mindhunter TV series. Yeah, but his last, 2014, Gone Girl was his last big theater film. But of course, we've had COVID and all that stuff. He's connected to the remake of The Killer, really? I didn't know that.
Oh, cool. That could be good.
Yeah, I don't know, man. You don't mess with John Woo's The Killer.
Yeah, it's one of those films you don't touch. It's so good that it's hard to follow up on. Kind of like this one. Hard to follow up on.
From the IMDb summary, it looks like it's a reworking of The Killer. It just seems like it's really loosely based on Woo's version.
Okay.
So, yeah. Alien 3, man, I just... it's like I watch it and I'm like, man, I really want, you just definitely want more from the film than you actually get. And unfortunately, we only get what we get out of it. And it could have been more.
Absolutely. You have some of these films, that they have a great debut. I view this as you view the first three Terminator films. Let me know if you you agree or not, but it's like, you know, you have Terminator and you have Alien, and you know, those are great. We went on to have really good sequels, and then you have these, you know, second sequels that don't quite give you what you wanted. You know, just a little disappointing, stinks a little bit. But you know, those first two, man, just enough to keep the franchise alive and interesting. You know, they did want to explore the alien homeworld at one point, but they didn't want to shell out the budget for it. So that was almost scrapped instantly. I believe the director who went on to direct Nightmare on Elm Street 4 wanted the alien homeworld type of storyline. And the studio is just like, nah, visually it would have been way too expensive. What's crazy is, you know, they teased Earth in the, you know, at the end of Aliens, but we never got Earth. All of a sudden we're on this, you know, prison planet.
So then they tease it again in Resurrection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're just a little tease. Maybe if they bring it back to Earth, you know.
Well, they did in Alien vs. Predator.
Yeah. Alien versus Predator. Is that a Predator movie or an Aliens movie, though?
Yeah, I've always wanted to see an Aliens on Earth film, but
yeah, oh, I mean, and Aliens Requiem they did too.
Yeah, but yeah, you know, this is one of those franchises that has so much potential behind it, and now they're, you know, they have this FX TV show that might happen. You know, and Neil Blomkamp almost rebooted it a couple years ago with a sequel that would have ignored Alien 3. He was going to bring back Hicks and all that.
Oh, I was so excited for that.
That never happened.
I was so excited.
The concept art worked and all that. I mean, yeah.
The online buzz that started was immense.
Yeah. Then when that fell apart, he was going to do a RoboCop reboot where it ignored RoboCop 2, and that fell apart. Sometimes I wonder about Neil Blomkamp and what's going on, because it feels like he's has these projects fall apart, and I really enjoyed Elysium and District 9, not Chappie so much. I enjoyed the ideas in Chappie, but the movie was a mess. But it feels like he hasn't been able to do anything else since. Makes you wonder what goes on behind the scenes as far as how he is to work with, because he's definitely has a vision, but his Alien sequel was not meant to be. Instead, we have this as a sequel to live with for Aliens, and it almost doesn't even feel like a sequel other than the first 5 minutes. It just feels like its own story. You know, and it's unfortunate. It's not a great movie. I don't think it's a terrible movie. It's an interesting question you brought up. Is it better than Alien Resurrection? I think I'd probably rather watch this than Alien Resurrection. Cause like, I hate all the Ripley clone and the hybrid alien, all that stuff. It was almost too much. You know, they almost took ideas. They, like I said, big bold ideas, but didn't quite work. I like the tighter idea of Alien.
Yeah, I was one and done with that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've only seen Resurrection maybe twice in all the years, where I have seen this movie a little bit more than Resurrection. So yeah. I think I've even watched Prometheus and Alien Covenant, you know, a few times over Resurrection. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean,
Prometheus is actually, if you're like a hardcore sci-fi guy, it's actually a pretty spectacular science fiction film. Now, if you're looking for a lot of action, not a whole lot really happens in the movie. It's a lot of build up. And then unfortunately we got Alien Covenant, which isn't terrible, but I'm just like, how did you make Prometheus, Ridley Scott? Then you made this, which isn't even close to as good as Prometheus. It's just kind of weird. But Ridley Scott has always been that.
Prometheus was okay.
But Ridley Scott's always been that way in his career, though. He'll make like really great movies, then his next movie will come out and it's just not that good. Like, you go look at his IMDb list, it's like 8.0, 5.2, 8.0, 5.2. So Ridley Scott's kind of had an interesting career as far as directing like that. He'll make some bad films, he'll make some really great films.
Peaks and valleys.
Yes. He's not as consistent as some of the other, as the Spielbergs or the James Camerons of our time. Ridley Scott's a little less consistent. But we're talking about David Fincher's film, and I wanted this film to be more back when I saw it, but I just think I can't really give it much higher than a C+, you know, and maybe a B- just cause some cool alien stuff in it, I guess. And the way Fincher directs it. It's just not that great of a film.
Yeah, I give it a C-.
Yeah, I guess I give it a C.
Yeah, I mean, but I felt we needed to cover it since we covered the first two. And
yeah.
You know, I don't know if we'll ever cover Resurrection. That thing's kind of crap. Unless we do our
theme. That's for your Patreon show.
Yeah, bring back Patreon.
Or our theme month where we talked about doing, like, bad movies. You know, maybe that'll come up one day. But anyway, so Alien 3. Interesting what could have been type movie, I guess. Well, let's do some news. There's a pretty busy news week. And let me read my hand right. Oh, also, I am. I was playing. You reminded me of this. I wrote this down. You were playing your Final Fantasy, and you know I'm a Star Wars Galaxies Legends player, and so I'm gonna give a shout out to somebody because she was talking to me in game, and she's like, and I was supposed to do it last week. So a shout out to Tracy on the show for being supportive of me on the game and was talking to her about some stuff in real life the other day. So there's your shout out. I don't want to hear any that I forgot this week stuff. So I had that written down for the news.
so she's looking for it, right?
Yeah. So I'm gonna have to give her a hard time. Let her know I gave her a shout out.
You're free. You're free.
So last week we talked about the when the Hellraiser reboot was coming out. Well, October 7th. This seems very fast because sure, it doesn't seem like this movie's been in production very long. So not holding out a lot of hope that it's going to be very good.
But it'll be on Hulu. Well, first off, you weren't really looking for any news about it. I've heard about it for a while. So
yeah, I guess it just seems like it's it's there. So
not out of nowhere. Sure. I've known about it for at least a year. And horror movies don't take that long to make anyways. It's not like they're a big budget film, you know. True. like how many how quick is the turnaround on all those Blumhouse films?
Oh yeah.
Right, Matt?
Or the old Saw films, yeah.
Yeah.
They churn those out every year. Yeah. Well, like I read earlier, I didn't realize this Crow reboot is happening. That with a Skarsgård, and it's like apparently already in production in the Czech Republic. I thought that thing had kept falling apart, never had directors involved with it. And I mean, I guess Rupert Sanders, who directed Snow White and the Huntsman movie, is directing it. And I'm just like, why? I've been trying to remake The Crow for years, just leave it alone. So yeah, no, you're right. Sometimes these things just happen. What did I write down here? Oh, Matt, your Resident Evil show was canceled after one season.
So, yeah.
Sorry.
You didn't even like the show, though.
No, I watched the first four episodes, and I wanted to watch it because it was Resident Evil, and it was cool to get Resident Evil now. Like, you know, it's cool to see that they were trying. But, you know, that's really all it was. People like the main characters, you know? They like the main characters. They like Leon. They like Claire. They like Chris. And you make something with none of that in there, you lose a lot of your fandom.
No. I didn't know this. You know, King Kong, even though Legendary has movie rights, is actually a public domain character because it's been out so long. So Disney Plus is apparently working on a King Kong television series of their own, obviously not connected to the MonsterVerse. I did not know that the character had been around long enough that it's public domain. It's public domain for what I was reading. It doesn't mean Disney doesn't have to buy rights to it. It just means that a studio can't have exclusive rights. So apparently Disney bought some rights to make their own King Kong TV series. And separate from the MonsterVerse stuff that's coming. So,
yeah,
interesting.
Wow.
Batman Caped Crusader, the new animated series from Bruce Timm, was announced upon the cancellations this past week. HBO Max has been doing a lot of, but it's not a dead project. The project is so far along in production, a lot of the animation is done, that they are, Warner Brothers is shopping it, apparently. And Netflix, Apple TV, and other studios are already looking to bring in this because this is kind of a shocker. No one really, it's Batman, and no one's thought, no one was people were really shocked it was canceled on HBO Max. Because this is something that, like I said, they announced this a couple years ago. So it was almost ready to go. They're starting to do, apparently voice work is going to happen soon. Animation's far along. So hopefully someone picks that up. Because I was looking forward to
freaking
it for
sure. Freaking Discovery, man. They don't know what they're doing already.
It's crazy.
They don't know. They know how to run the cable show, but not a freaking movie studio.
Right.
Yeah, Warner Brothers is like the number two studio right behind Disney. They're kind of like they know what it's like a movie studio that knows what it's doing. Head and shoulders above Universal and Sony. You know, I consider those B-tier studios. Mm-hmm. But as far as, you know, world-class studio, like Warner Brothers
and Disney. Yeah.
Yeah, Warner Brothers and Disney.
Absolutely.
And they're just running the stuff to the ground. And HBO, like the whole streaming thing is like fierce competition out there. You don't want to be giving away like exclusive property like that to other studios. Right. Like if it belongs in your warehouse, then freaking you got to have content.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And it's like, and then I hear that the Discovery honchos are planning on making more reality-based shows for HBO Max. It's like, we don't want reality TV shows like fucking Deadliest Catch and stuff on HBO Max.
Yeah. Well, you know, like, Matt likes to watch F-Boy Island, but, you know.
F-Boy Island? I've never heard of that.
I don't know. I think it's... You had sent me something one time, so... And, yeah. Well, yeah, and then sticking with Warner Brothers news, I mean... You know, they had apparently funeral screenings of Batgirl on the studio lot this week to show the cast and crew. And different reports have come out of that. Some people say that there's been some reports that say the movie was salvageable. It wasn't as bad as people thought. And I've read some reports that said the movie was a mess, that maybe it was good that they didn't put it out yet. But I also read that it wasn't such a mess that if they had put some money into it, it couldn't have been saved. So, man... The fanboy theory of me wants to think this is all drumming up anticipation to maybe say, oh, we had a change of heart and never releasing this thing later on, you know? Because it's just still unprecedented for a studio to show an entire film with, you know, $90 million budget, big name actor like Michael Keaton in it.
Well, the studio was ordered by Discovery, corporate Discovery, to cancel it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the Warner Brothers didn't want to cancel the movie. They were ordered to by Discovery.
Yeah.
We got to emphasize that for sure, you know.
Yeah.
What if this is part of some messed up marketing campaign?
No, that's kind of what I just said.
Yeah.
It's like to drum up interest, you know.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
And
then on top of all that, Warner Brothers this week also announced in Discovery that they're pushing Shazam Fury of the Gods back to March, and Aquaman's not going to come out till next Christmas. And they cited box office still weak was their reason. Okay, the box office is weak right now because it's August and September, but did they not just watch Top Gun make a shit ton of money this summer? Batman made a lot of money. I don't understand that. Like, Christmas was the perfect time for Shazam to come out because people with families would go see it. Aquaman was going to come out, July 4th weekend or whatever?
Yeah. Like,
so now you're pushing Aquaman back to December 23rd next year, which still might, if, you know, because, you know, Lucasfilm has not moved Patty Jenkins' Star Wars film off the schedule yet. Because a lot of word is that they're working on the script and they might start shooting her Star Wars film here in the next few months for release next year. So now you're going to have to go up against Star Wars, Avatar 3. So, you know, Aquaman's probably going to get moved again. Because you're not going to have it go up against a Star Wars film or Avatar 3. So it's just – I'm not sure what Discovery's doing over there, but they better figure it out fast.
I don't know what they're doing. You know, yeah.
Because I saw no reason to push Shazam back. Because I was looking at the Christmas season. Other than Avatar, there's not a whole lot coming out. I think there was room for Shazam because people will go see Avatar opening weekend, and then they'll go see Shazam at Christmas. So interesting. I'm not a Supernatural guy. I know, Matt, your wife is a big fan, but was hoping Jeffrey Dean Morgan would join Jason Ackles on The Boys, and it's going to happen. Jeffrey Dean Morgan's going to join the cast of The Boys next season. But a lot of talk is that it might not be as big a part as people think, because Jeffrey Dean Morgan's schedule is, from what I was reading, is apparently very busy, but they're going to try to work him into the show somehow. So, so the Supernatural fanboys are getting their wish come true with a good old Jeffrey Dean Morgan joining the show.
So there we go.
I like Jeffrey Dean Morgan, actually. I think he's a, he just, I like his style and his, in the roles. He plays villains really well. And he just seems like the kind of guy you can sit back and have a beer with. I don't know why. Like, you watch him in interviews, he's very laid back. He'll curse. He's himself. You know, he doesn't seem fake to me. You know? So I think that's cool. Umbrella Academy. If you're a fan of that show, it's going to end with season 4. Netflix announced that this week. So I've heard good things about the show. I've never watched it, but as its fans out there, Netflix announced that there would be one more season after this current season that's running on Netflix. And then lastly, September 8th, it's going to be Disney Plus Day this year, where you can watch Thor, Love, and Thunder on Disney Plus. You can watch the new Pinocchio film and a few other things on that day on Disney Plus this year. The making of Obi-Wan Kenobi will be out that day. So that's September 8th, Disney Plus Day. Then that weekend afterwards is D23. So we'll see what kind of Disney announcements we get that weekend. So exciting stuff there. That's all the news. It was, like I said, a lot of little tidbits this week. So next week, before we get out, not quite the Matt's birthday movie yet. That's a couple weeks away. But we are going to cover a movie that we've talked about doing for a couple years now because of a very popular show that's on Netflix called Cobra Kai, which has a huge fan base. People are really enjoying the hell out of it. And its new season comes out on September 7th or 8th, around there, I believe. Mm-hmm. So we're going to cover next week. Finally, we're going to get around to talking The Karate Kid.
This is it. This is the end of the line.
Telling me.
Did I tell you about the pool here?
For Daniel LaRusso.
Is this the only pool you guys got?
The future seemed far from terrific.
This place is a dump. You should come back to New Jersey.
Hey, I know it's hard, but we're not quitters, are we?
Until he met the right girl.
She's beautiful. I say she's beautiful. I think she's beautiful.
Is that your address?
You got it.
But that only angered the wrong guy.
You know, country club, 9:30.
Definitely.
You gotta be nuts.
And his troubles really began.
You had to push it. Now you can pay.
Then, in one man, he found a teacher.
I promise, teach karate.
And a friend.
Fighting, always last answer.
How did you do that?
Don't know. First time. Power, whole body. Make a perfect picture.
But how do I know if my picture's the right one?
If come from inside you, always right one. Lesson about the balance, not just karate. Lesson for all life. Why train?
So I won't have to fight.
Hey, Karate Kid, let's take a move.
No points or no points, you're dead meat.
I don't have much of a cheering section.
You got me.
In the end, it will be in Daniel's hands. In his body. And most of all, in his mind.
Concentrate, focus, power. Remember, balance.
No mercy.
Columbia Pictures presents The Karate Kid.
Hey, what kind of belt do you have?
Canvas. You like? JCPenney, 398.
1980s classic for sure. Fun movie. Holds up well. Still good. Definitely a piece of 80s nostalgia. As we'll talk about the fight of the tournament between Johnny and Daniel LaRusso, and LaRusso studying under the fantastic Mr. Miyagi. Pat Morita is so good in this movie. So it'll be fun, man. It's been a while since I've watched it. It'll be a good one to sit and talk about before we get ready for Matt's birthday movie here in a couple weeks on the show. and get ready for the fifth season of Cobra Kai. Well, Long, did you ever watch the last season of Cobra Kai? I knew you were a little behind on it.
I canceled my sub when they raised the prices. Yeah. Slack. No, I haven't.
That's good. Just kidding. So cool. So next week, the Karate Kid on the show. But until then, this is the Rebel Radio Podcast, therebelradiopodcast.com for all your Rebel Radio needs, as always. And thank you, as always, for listening and supporting us. We do truly appreciate it. And continue to be safe out there. And until next week, this is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long.
Remember, as always, just go there and do it.